is a supply chain expert. He's the founder of Profit Systems Proprietary Limited, and he watched what happened with Northern Territory's mango season, where at the 11th hour, a workforce from Vanuatu came in, and he says, we can do better than this. We don't have to be doing this last-minute panic. Tim Gray, welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you.
How close did the Northern Territory come to losing this year's mango season because of a lack of pickers?
Yeah, it's a pretty extraordinary situation. They're still not out of the woods yet, but they did get the first 170 external pickers in. Then it's now talk of them needing another 600 to finish the job. What scares me is that they cost $500,000 to fly in, to charter the flights, to get 170 people in, and then it was $2,500 per picker to quarantine them for 14 days. It's like, my Lord, I applaud the government for putting their shoulder behind it, but that's $1 million for 170 people. It's just, we can do better than that.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, it is. It's a lot of money, and I'm hoping that our local farmers and producers will help paint the picture by using that text line 0467922783, and then Tassie with the berry season.
Mm. Yeah, and Tassie have, you know, they've got border closures around the island, which makes, you know, even getting local people in. For me, there's a real demographic. There's an opportunity here with one of our demographics that we've overlooked. Everyone seems to be focusing on how we're going to get the overseas pickers in, and the reality is we're not going to get backpackers in. We would typically have 140,000 backpackers at this time of year. We currently have 40,000, and that number's dropping because, you know, they have to go home and others aren't replacing them. And one of the, you know, about a third of our fruit-picking workforce comes from those backpackers. For me, the demographic that we're missing is most of those backpackers are students on a gap year or over university and school break. And we have our own students that are available that can't actually go to Bali or can't go to Europe or can't go to Canada and pick fruit. And those same people that would be enjoying the same experiences in another country are actually available, but they don't know that these jobs are available for them. They don't know that some farmers are happy to bring them on to help them out, to train them up, just like they do with the external backpackers.
Okay. So, you think that there is a labour workforce here. We'll talk a bit more about here. What do you think, though, Tim Gray, because I know you've crunched some numbers on this, what do you think is at stake here if we can't fix the labour problem in the supply chain, both economically and in food availability?
Yeah, Deloitte's put out a pretty compelling study that suggested that not only is our horticultural industry worth $13 billion per annum, but that if we don't get the people to the farms at the time that they need it, and by the way, every grower needs on average 20 to 25 pickers to help, if we don't get them there, then most of that $13 billion is a jeopardy. And what that means to you, you or me when we go to the supermarket is they're expecting fresh fruit prices would rise by 60%.
Yeah, we have heard that before, and I know AusVeg has sort of poo-pooed that a bit and said we don't think it'll be quite that high. But I get what you're saying. You know, if we can't pick it, then, you know, it's going to be scarce and it's going to be expensive. Yep. Would you say, Tim Gray, that grain harvest is the next big concern for South Australia?
It's definitely on the agenda of the, you know, the cycle of harvest. It's definitely there for South Australia for sure. So, I appreciate and think you're absolutely right to put the call out to the grain farmers now. Like, you know, who do they need? How do they need them? How can we get them there? What help can we give?
Yeah. So paint the picture for us about the next, perhaps, greatest impact in South Australia, do you think? What's going to be the crop?
I'm not as familiar with your crops, but I do know grain is a big one. But you do produce an enormous variety of fruits, but in high numbers.
Yeah.
You still do quite a few strawberries, the grain, obviously you've already mentioned, that's certainly by numbers, that's a big one. You do have a cherry season and cherry picking, and then there's obviously the grapes that come a little bit later there. It's more like February, but, you know, there's oranges and other stuff. So you've still got quite a variety of crops, just perhaps not the magnitude of perhaps Victoria and New South Wales.
So we've got a bit of time, well, not maybe for grain harvest, but we've got a bit of time. I've seen a lot of jobs advertised for grain harvest, but in terms of fruit picking, that is going to happen over the next few months, but we've got time to get our ducks in a row. Tim Gray is with me. He's a supply chain expert. He's founder of Profit Systems Proprietary Limited. And he says we can do better than at the 11th hour trying to fly in workers from other countries to pick fruit and vegetables across Australia, including South Australia, regional South Australia and Broken Hill. So you've told me about the school leavers as one of your idea. What other ideas have you got? And do you think that involving school leavers is going to require some incentives for them, Tim?
There's been some talk about incentives, and I'm a little bit worried about the incentives only in terms of the time it would take to mobilise that. A little bit like, you know, I hear talk about we should just get anyone who's on JobSeeker to march them out, we'll march them out the door and, you know, and I'll go and pick fruit. And that's not only will be constitutional issues, there'll be time issues, there'll be sullen workforce issues. It's perhaps not as good as having people that want to work. And this is where, from my perspective, if we look at the people that actually would value somewhere $20,000 and $3,000 or $4,000 a week once they get good at it, but $1,000 a week is pretty much the minimum wage out on picking fruit if you do a 4 weeks' work. You know, that's a lot of money to a school leaver. That's a lot of money to a university student. And it's a lot of money to somebody who wants a working holiday and to get out and see the bush and is sick of being trapped up. Yeah, as long as you don't have a rent that you've got to pay back in a city or somewhere that's, you know, going to gobble up all of that money just for the privilege. And that's a downside by trying to mandate that everybody who's on a support system should drop what they're doing and come out and pick fruit. But, you know, we've got these people that would be wandering anyway and they want to have a holiday and to get them with their mates. It's great.
Yeah. I know ABC Rural's been reporting certainly that the Northern Territory Farmers Association, they want to see the federal government provide a hex discount to university students who are willing to do seasonal work on farms. So attract uni students into farm work and then give them a discount off their hex debt. What's your thoughts on that type of proposal, Tim Gray?
I think it's a terrific idea. I really applaud that. I also think that we're missing just how attractive, I'm not sure if you remember back to when you were at school or uni and your first job out. And our
it's a long way. It's a long time ago. But no, yes, I can remember. I can remember. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, mine's going sepia too. But you know, they can't go and get a job at the RSL. They can't go and get a job.
No, that's right, which is what we did. Worked in a pub, washed dishes in a, you know, yeah.
Exactly. So the normal way that you would entertain yourself over the Christmas break would you do some work and then you go and spend some time on the beach. You know, you get your time outdoors. And what I'm suggesting here is that, well, those jobs aren't available, but people still want money to play with. They're not entitled to handouts and stuff because they're students or just being students. Mm. And it's seriously a lot of money. I've talked to my daughters and their friends because they're in year 11 and year 12 and their friends and family friends who are at university. And literally the common theme has been, wow, you can earn that much? How do I sign up?
Yeah.
And that's
okay.
The point to me. Most of our education has been on educating foreign students or backpackers that they can come over and they can stay for longer if they go and pick some fruit. They can come over here and have a paid holiday. And we haven't really focused on our own students because in the past they've just gone overseas.
Yeah. And now they can't. Exactly. We have a captive audience. What do you think of what Tim Gray is saying? My text line is 0467 922 783. Incentives for uni students to work out with harvest, fruit harvest, grain harvest, you name it. We really need an army of people. I think I pulled out some SA government stats. In just horticulture, we need 24,000 workers a year in South Australia. So I was thinking along the lines of the land army from World War II, Tim Gray. No, I didn't. I don't remember World War II, but I have heard about it. And, you know, where people packed food mainly for the troops, but it was about mobilising groups of people to assist.
Yep. Yeah, there's that is definitely where we need to head. I think if we try and do it in a forced way, and I think I'm absolutely fine, we parallel plan this. Let's do everything we can to attract people that want to be there, and encourage them to make it a fun and exciting thing. Because picking fruit is not all bad. Yes, it's hard work, but if you make it a game with your mates, it can be quite rewarding. And then there's beers at the end of the day, and, you know, it's pretty much what you do on a rugby trip. So you work hard during the day and then play at night. Rinse and repeat. This is not out of this is stuff that our kids will enjoy. Not everyone, of course, but so that's the first part. But of course, we should have backup plans. And in fact, one of my biggest criticisms to date of a lot of the policies that we've seen around the lockdowns and every variant of it has been we've done nothing but politically react. There has been no planning, and the best planners actually use playbooks where we decide if this happens, here's what we're going to do. If this happens, here's what we're going to do. We've got a little bit of time. You know, we're about to, towards the end of October in New South Wales, we'll be picking cherries. Slightly after that, oh no, actually, at the same time, we're picking cherries in South Australia. Grains are ready a little bit earlier than school gets out. But we've got time to figure out, can we get these extra people mobilised to help? Will they come? If not, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get these people from? I'm absolutely convinced that if we try and fly people over from another country and then they've got to quarantine them for 2 weeks, and that quarantine is the kind of price that we're paying for the ventilation for the quarantine. This is untenable. We need a better way. Interestingly, in Singapore, what they're doing, if you want to send your kid to school, you've got to pre-send the temperature of your child before they're allowed to come to school. They don't even leave the house if the temperature is above 37.3 or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
If we can get if we work with our health professionals and our governments to relax the border. Relax border travel as long as you've got, you know, a job that you're going to and you're allowed to go to that job as long as you're in a healthy state, you know, temperature's fine or you've got all the protective equipment or whatever the mandate is. But we've got to seriously think about, are you going to go and pick cherries in New South Wales and come over to help in South Australia if it means 2 weeks delay in between? You're going to help in grain in South Australia and go over to help in Victoria a couple of weeks later? You would. Unless you're going to get stopped for 2 weeks. And then the whole thing's just untenable. So we've got to get out in front of this and we've got to plan around it.
Good to talk to you, Tim. Thank you. Good luck with that. Tim Gray, supply chain expert, founder of Profit Systems Proprietary Limited, saying, hey, there is a better way to do this than getting people in from overseas to pick fruit and vegetables and pay a heap of money to have them do it. Hello to Agent 053, who has sent me through a couple of Cinderella jokes that I can't share with you on the radio, unfortunately. But I'll tell you what I can do is I can tell you a clean joke that I had.